like yours. There's a time that I remember when I never felt so lost, and I felt all of the hatred was too powerful to stop. And my heart feels like an ember, and it's lighting up the dark. I'll carry these torches for you, and you know I'll never drop. Yeah. Everybody hurts sometimes, everybody hurts someday, yeah, yeah. But everything gon' be alright. Gonna raise a glass and say, hey. Here's to the ones that we got. Cheers to the wish you were here, but you're not. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories of everything we've been through. Toast to the ones here today. Toast to the ones that we lost on the way. Cause the drinks bring back all the memories. And the memories bring back your.
Question whether we can proceed.
All right, I'm cooler than you are. Why don't you fix your little problems and light this candle?
He's right. Let's light this candle.
He surely is. Light the candle.
Yes. Resume the countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Afternoon from the Ybor City campus of Hillsborough Community College in Tampa, Florida. Welcome on into Hawk Radio. It is Friday, January 24th, 2025. Welcome to the Tampa Turntable Sessions. We do this every Friday afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern. And today, actually, we're going to do something a little bit different. It's a live show, but it's me. I'm doing something totally different today. Unscripted, no format, no particular order, rhyme, or reason. By the way, my name is Mike Frazier. Hi, welcome on in. This past Tuesday, my family lost our father, Robert Frazier, after 87 years here on Earth. He had a short illness. He had an illness for a while. I won't necessarily get into all the details, but he finally passed away on Tuesday evening. And it's interesting because 82 days before that was when my mom passed away. And I've had some time to think about it and talking with my brothers, and the thought. What I want to think is that he was holding on. He had cancer. He was holding on for her. She passed. And then with the holidays that were out upon us, he still held out a little bit more rather than, you know, wanting to have a 1-2 horrible whammy, you know, back-to-back whammy. Rolling snake eyes twice there, not good, so. He waited until it was fast. From the time that he was admitted into the hospital to the time that he passed away, less than a week, actually less than what, 4 or 5 days. He went peacefully. So, and they are together again. So today, actually, for this next hour, again being unscripted, no format, no particular rhyme or reason. I'm going to take some phone calls. I'm going to talk to if you want to give me a call, share a story. If any of you knew my dad. Feel free to give us a call here in the studio. I'll give you the numbers out after this first break that I'm going to take here. But in these 87 years that he lived, our show, it's music-based. My dad was the one who taught me the love of music. He had an ear for music, and boy, was he around for a lot of it. And when I say a lot of it, I mean, think about it, 87 years. I mean, he outdates the Grammys. He outdates the Billboard Hot 100 pop chart. There was a popular chart, but it wasn't called the Hot 100 chart. It wasn't even called the Pop 100 chart. I think it was called the Popular Music Airplay chart. And in fact, so just to give you an idea of pop music was always around, and that's what we celebrate on the show, pop and rock music. Right now, in 87 years, pop music has always been around, but the definition has changed, and the meaning of what pop music is, and the audience has changed. I'm going to play a prime example here in just a second here. So if you look at the chart, you know that this week's number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 is Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars. They've got the number one song. It's been like there for like several weeks. I think it got replaced around the holidays for a Christmas song, but then, you know, it's still back on top. So you may be familiar with that song. I'm not going to play it here. I'm not even going to play a snippet of it here. If you don't know, you know, go in your own time and listen to it. Because again, I'm not going to play it on this show. But that same Billboard chart that morphed into that Hot 100 chart, the week that he was born on a Saturday, July 31st, 1937. By the way, astonishing too, because he was around for World War II, and he remembers, and the stories that he told me growing up in Miami. I'll share some of those later on. But getting back to the music again, being unscripted, I'm kind of all over the place, going to try to hold it together here. He obviously never heard the song because he was born that week, but that number one song, the week that he was born on the Billboard Popular Music Airplay chart, to go from Think About Now with Bruno Mars and Lady Gaga back 87 and a half years ago, that number one song that week was by an artist named Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadian, and his Royal Canadians, along with LeBur Lombardo singing. That song I'm actually going to play. We'll come back, and I'll hopefully be able to talk to one of my brothers here. Song coming up here, it's called It Looks Like Rain in Cherry Blossom Lane. It Looks Like Rain in Cherry Blossom Lane. Catchy title. Stick around with us. It's more of a celebration of life this hour, as we remember him. We will remember Robert Fraser. Robert Edward Fraser. And this is the Tampa Turntable Sessions here on Hawk Radio. HCC's Hawk Radio with the Tampa Turntable Sessions. Good afternoon. It's Friday, January 24th, 2025. My name is Mike Frazier. 10 minutes past the hour right now. Special session that we're doing today, unscripted. We are remembering my father, Robert Frazier, who after 87 years passed away this past Tuesday. He has gone on. He has joined my mom, who passed away on October 31st. So they were married for 65 years, if more than that. So if you're watching on Facebook Live, actually, I'm holding up a photo that he actually, we found it in his wallet that he was carrying it with her when he passed away. So this is her high school graduation photo there. So let me see here. I got him on both cameras there. We got a couple of cameras going here. So yeah, that's her. So that's my mom. So yeah. Yeah, fantastic. So a couple of other things that I just point out here, speaking of going through his wallet, not his wallet, but he had a bag that he would carry all the time with him later in his years in life. He had a couple of other things in there that I took pictures of here that my sister shared with me. Let's see here. See if we can find it right here. We've got so he had this thing in there at he made this chart, handwritten, and it's called Based on Instant Pain and Prolonged Pain, and it's the pain charts. It's the numbers 1 through 10, starting at 0, going up to number 10. Again, if you're on Facebook Live, I'm holding up a screenshot of that. You could see it's kind of blown up there. Let me see if I can get a better shot here. That's it there. And it was smaller. He had to fold it up in his wallet there. But there's 10 different things on there. From least painful to most painful, we have 0, which is no pain, which makes sense. Number 1, the common headache. Number 2, self-inflicted puncture wounds. And by the way, I only know about maybe 2 or 3 of these things, of him ever having them. The other ones, not a clue. So, but we have self-inflicted puncture wound was number 2. Number 3 was sinus headache. Number 4, punch in the nose, not broken. And I was talking to my brother John yesterday about this list here, and he was telling me that he relayed a story to him, to my brother, after my brother Scott apparently broke his nose playing baseball, and about how my dad didn't have a broken nose, but he ended up getting punched so hard that it actually caused his nose to kind of get a little bit reshaped when he was younger. You know how sometimes a nose will bend to the right or left, and so that was number 4. Number 5, a toothache. Number 6, a smashed toe. Number 7. This is the one that made us all laugh, and I'm actually going to highlight it and hold it back up here in just a second here. Kick in the nads. Number 7, kicking the nads. My dad has a wicked sense of humor. Kicking the nads. Who kicked him in the nads? When did they kick him in the nads? And more importantly, why did they kick him in the nads? These are 3 questions that I will never know, unfortunately. Number 8, infected sinus. Number 9, impacted wisdom tooth. And number 10, and there's a story behind this one, chest tube inserted into collapsed lung through 3 broken ribs. I was there when that happened. Well, I wasn't there when that happened. I was there in the immediate aftermath when the accident happened. My parents never learned how to drive. They raised 6 kids, and I think we all turned out all right. You know, I mean, you know, I may be the one who's arguably the one who didn't turn out all right. I say jokingly, but raising 6 kids, they never learned how to drive. So my dad used to ride his bike. Well, he used to walk everywhere, but then later on in life, he started riding his bike. And he was coming home from work in Fort Myers, probably maybe, 14, 15 years ago. And it was just normal afternoon, riding down McGregor Boulevard, and he ended up clipping a garbage can that had been out. It was a Friday afternoon, that's right, because they pick up the garbage on Friday. I believe it was Friday afternoon. Clipped a garbage can that was partially on the bike path there. And he went down like a sack of hammers, ass over tea kettle, flipped all over the place. I got a phone call from him. He never carried a cell phone with he used to carry a cell phone with him, never had it on. This was the one time fate intervened. He happened to have his cell phone turned on, and he had called. He had walked himself to a Hess gas station that wasn't too far away, and he let me know, hey, can you come pick me up? I was in a bike accident, and so, of course, you know, I'm immediately concerned about that. I immediately went there, so I didn't even finish my beer. I immediately went and picked him up, so it's a joke on the beer part. And there he was, like someone who was down on their luck, sitting outside the entrance to Hess with the handlebars. Actually, the front wheel on his bike was like almost bent in half. Looked like I thought he got hit by a car when he told me he was in a bike accident. Then he's explaining to me what happened, and I could tell he's in tremendous pain. So he's like, hey, you know, let's just go home. So I help him into the Jeep that I had there, which, when apparently, in hindsight, when you have a collapsed lung and three broken ribs, it's not fun getting in and out of a Jeep. It's not fun getting in and out of an SUV, you know, especially, you know, knowing that he's in that much pain. Put the bike in the back. We started driving south on 41 heading towards his house, and going past Lee Memorial Hospital, I asked him, hey, do you want to go to the hospital? My dad had this threshold for pain that he would never let you know that he was in pain. That's why that's also what makes this chart funny. So, hey, do you want to go to the hospital? No. And I think he took a breath in and realized he couldn't breathe. The very next word, it was like this. Do you want me to take you to the emergency room here? No. Yes. Like that. I mean, there was the most affirming yes that I've ever heard come out of his mouth. So, yep, that's number 10. Chest tube inserted into the collapsed lung through three broken ribs. That's how he ended up getting that. Again, I'm going to hold up, I highlighted it, number 7 here. I'm going to walk around really fast. I'll be off mic for a second here just to hold this up to the camera here. Take a look at number 7, kicked in the nads here. So, let's see here. Kind of funny. Let's see, you guys, I don't know if you guys can see that there. Let's see here. We've got number 7. Kicked in the nads. Funny stuff. Funny stuff. He held on to that. He held on to that to his last breath. So good stuff. Good stuff. A couple of other things. He taught me, again, my love for music. And I remember him telling me a story. We had the song wrong. And then when he realized that it wasn't the song from the 50s that he thought it was actually a song from the 60s by Simon and Garfunkel, it gave the song that much more meaning. But he told me a story about the song about the boxer by Simon and Garfunkel, that throughout the song there's this drumming sound. It sounds like an explosion of drums, and somehow my dad knew, must have read it somewhere. He loved the song, but they got that sound actually from being in the recording studio, or being on the floor of the recording studio. It was actually the Wrecking Crew was the backing band for great studio musicians, the Wrecking Crew, and the drummer for that band. In order to get the sound, the producer's like, okay, let's try something. So him and the drummer agreed that what they're going to do is they're going to go ahead and open up the doors on the elevator in order to create this reverb sound that you hear in the song. They captured it. They got it. Now, there's been some rumors about exactly how it is, but when you can't find the truth, or the truth is unclear, you go ahead and you tell the legend, and the legend lives on from there. Clip of that song. Let's see here. This is it right here. And you'll hear the drumming here. So.
Lie, 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 lie
You are listening to the Tampa Turntable Sessions this afternoon on HCC's Hawk Radio. I'm Mike Frazier. We're recognizing, remembering, and celebrating the life of my father and my mother. My father passed away this past week on Tuesday. My mother passed away on October 31st. Stick around. We'll be back. HCC's Hawk Radio, Elvis Presley, Can't Help Falling in Love. My dad and my mom, big Marine Corps. I've got Marine Corps and my notes listed here. Well, they were big Marine Corps fans, obviously, and I'll get into that shortly here. But huge Elvis fans, absolutely huge Elvis fans. Yeah. Although I think my mom was probably more of the Elvis fan than my dad was, but that's not discounting his love for rock and roll or Elvis at all. And talk about the Marines really fast. Not fast, but my dad was a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine, as he was always quick to tell you. And it's something that I always passed along anytime anyone says, you'll never hear of a thing. You'll never hear any Marine say that they're an ex-Marine. And don't ever call a Marine an ex-Marine. Advice that he gave me that I've always lived with. Because Marines back then, and even to this very day, scare the hell out of me. You don't want to piss off a Marine. There were times when I don't know, maybe revolting in high school, younger age, where we would all push my dad at some point or another. At least my brothers would. Can't speak for the sisters, but he would give you that look. He'd give you that Marine Corps look, and that's all it took. He never raised a hand to us. Never raised a hand to me, can't speak for everyone else, but we grew up in a loving home. Six kids, again, I have three brothers and two sisters. They're all older than me. I am the youngest, so I was the one who was spoiled. I came at the very end. All 2 years apart from each other, except for me and my closest sibling, Tracy. We are 5 years apart, so I always like to joke, as did everyone else, where it's like, well, I used to joke I was an accident. They would say, you're not an accident, you were adopted. So family love. Mom and Dad always assured me, no, you weren't adopted. So, and I do have a birth certificate to prove that they are my parents. But going back to the Marine Corps, my dad served between Korea and Vietnam, never saw combat. He's always thankful for that. I went into the Air Force, was in there for a short time. I never saw combat. I'm thankful for that. He would say, you know, even as a Marine, you don't want to see combat. You don't want to see combat. It's not like what you think it is when you see it on TV. The biggest thing is, because unlike what they show in movies and all these big men out there, the enemy is firing back at you. That's what a lot of people seem to forget. Yeah. So, you know, it's not a video game. But yeah, he never saw combat. He was always thankful for that. I'm thankful for that, because I don't know, you know, we may not have been around. None of us may have been around, thinking about it. My oldest sibling, having been born in 1960, my dad served in the Marines from 57 to, I think, 57 to 60, again, between Korea and Vietnam. He did it, actually. He a little bit backstory on that. He had started at architecture school at the University of Chicago, studying on Navy Pier, doing architecture. What a great campus to have at the time. Couldn't afford it. I'm not sure, back in the late 50s or the mid 50s, what the system was as far as student aid goes, but it just couldn't afford it. Figured I get, you know, it's he had my mom as a girlfriend, or did they just get married? I think they were just about ready to get married. Got married in 58, maybe, when she was 18. So his teenage bride, as one of the many things that he called her. But yeah, he needed it's like, you know, to be a man, you know, he's got to support his family. So he went and he joined the Marine Corps, and he served honorably, meritously, for 3 years. He never lost that Marine Corps mentality, that those core values, you know, the honor, the integrity, the tenacity, you know, just to do the thing that's right. Even when no one's looking, you still do what's right. Values that he instilled in all of us. We had a great family. We grew up in the south suburbs of Riverdale, among many other places, but that's where most of our memories come from. My dad actually was born in Miami, Florida, back in, again, 1937. I always like to say, and he used to like to say, and then I carried on, where it's like, where'd you come from? And he's like, no, I was actually born in Miami. A quote that he would say, I am that Florida resident that they always talk about, as if he was Florida resident number one from 1937. He moved up with his father to father and grandfather, I believe, is the backstory, up into the Midwest in Chicago. Met my mom when he was still in high school. He went to Chicago Vocational School, CVS, the same school that the legendary Dick Butkus went to. And also David Mamet, producer, Hollywood producer, executive producer, writer, David Mamet. He grew up with the Allisons across the street in Miami when he was a younger kid. Davey, Bobby, the Allison family, the racing family. My dad was best friends with the Frasers were best friends with the Allisons growing up. They separated through the years. But the stories that he would tell about half sticks of dynamite and how he still has a hand after this, he doesn't know. He wasn't mangled, but he had some fantastic stories that he would tell. Usually late in the evening, the stories would get a little bit more wilder as he was telling them. I know I'm kind of all over the place here. But yeah, the Marine Corps values that he instilled in me, instilled in my brothers, and the caring and compassion that he passed along to all of us. I would like to think that that you know I'm a better person. I know I'm a better person because of what he did. That's not to discount what my mom did. My mom, again, she passed away in October after battling Alzheimer's for 5 years. My dad was absolutely crushed when they got the diagnosis. And in some small way, let me backtrack for a second here. My dad was not the type of person who would go around broadcasting his business, unlike what I'm doing now. But I feel it's important that I share this with him. We all mourn in our own special way, and this is why I'm doing it here. This is how I do it. And how I can honor him and remember him so that there's a record out there forever of this. But, yeah, he when my mom got the diagnosis for Alzheimer's, he, for the longest time, he, like a lot of us, he didn't want to accept it. He was always under, we always felt that he was, that he had in the back of his mind, of course, you never want to lose hope. He had in the back of his mind that she was just going to snap out of it one day, as a lot of caregivers and family members of Alzheimer's patients do think. She never did. He came to the reality, you know, the understanding of that towards the end of her life. Again, he, you know, it's he hardly ever showed emotion to us, but that doesn't mean it wasn't there. It's just that's just how he was. So. But yeah, between the two of them, great parents. I'm actually, I've got holding up a photo here on Facebook Live of one of the last photos that they took together before she got sick. This is from about, when I say maybe 2015, 2016. They had gone. It looks like it's a Christmas party for where my mom was working at the time at the Broadway Palm Dinner Theater in Fort Myers, Florida. She was working part-time there as a server during the events there. But, yeah, it's this was the Christmas party there. One of the things that he would do every year at Christmas, he would buy her a new piece of jewelry that matched the previous pieces of jewelry that he had been buying her over the years. It gets harder and harder when you've been married for 65 years, that's for sure. But she proudly wore them each year. In fact, that's what she has here. She's got the earrings and... like the pendant around her neck that he had bought, the matching pendant from over the years. I don't know if he maybe bought her one earring one year, and then the next year he'd buy her another earring. You know, I'm not sure if he did it that way or not. I don't think he did. I think he did it. But, yeah, I will that's a great photo there. Let me see what else we have here. Talking about Chicago. So my dad hated the cold, and... the irony is not lost that he passed away this past Tuesday when there was snow that came in that night into North Florida. 8 inches of snow fell in sections of northern Florida. He hated the cold. I cannot stress that enough. He hated the cold. And he was so glad to get the hell out of Chicago and back down here to Florida. Now you think, what's so bad about Florida? It's just the wintertime. Not what's so bad about Chicago in the wintertime? You know, it's you know, you go from inside to outside. You know, you spend a little bit of time. You know, you warm up. Again, as I was explaining previously on this tribute here to my dad a few minutes back, he and my mom never drove. My dad worked at a steel mill. He worked at Republic Steel, which later became LTV Steel up in Chicago, and he would take a bus. He would take at least two buses each way to get to work. Doesn't matter. Rain, he was better than the post office. Neither rain nor wind nor sleet nor snow would stop this man from going to work to support his wife and us six kids and to have the life that he created for us. He would walk 1.5 to 2 miles from the house. I know a lot of people are uphill both ways through the snowstorm. Practically, yeah, yeah. No, it was flat. You know, it's Midwest, it was flat, but that doesn't stop the fact that if there's a blizzard going on, or if the snow is coming down at 9:30 at night, or there's a wind chill where it's negative 20 degrees below zero, you still got to go to work. You still got to walk those 2 miles to get to the bus. And you still got to transfer. You got to go downtown. You got to go through some sketchy neighborhoods on the south side of Chicago to get to that steel mill. He would do that both ways, coming and going all year long. The steel mill wasn't on a train route. He couldn't take a train. So it was the bus, and the nearest bus stop at the time, it was a mile and a half, 2 miles away. So yeah, he would have to transfer there. So when we moved to Florida in 1987, he kissed that snow. Basically, told it to never look back. He would go back to Chicago in the summer times. In the summer times, not in the winter times. Begrudgingly, only because unless it's right around maybe late August, September, it was still always too cold for him once he got down here. So, Floridian by birth, Chicagoan by the grace of God, I don't know, or by choice. But definitely one thing that he didn't have a choice in was being a Chicago Cubs fan. My mom was from Chicago. She grew up in a house where they were Cubs fans. She was a Cub fan, and if anyone's kind of like being a Red Sox fan, if you are a Cubs fan, you know that you don't have a choice. It's like Judaism. You don't have a choice. You're born into it. So, and yeah, that's how being a Cubs fan is. And if he was going to grow up in that house and they were going to be together, he was going to have to become a Cubs fan too. I don't think he really had a care for any other team. But he did fall in love with his Cubs. He had a love-hate relationship with those Cubs. Boy, did he ever. And by that, I mean he hated to love them. Or, yeah, because he didn't hate them. So, but he just hated to love them, though. And he loved them. He would find, as he would say, some of the greatest expressions that I ever heard about baseball were, let me see if I get this right. The Chicago Cubs... They snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory today. That was a great one. But chiefisms. Guy had that was one of his chiefisms. We called him chief later on in life because of his time in the Marine Corps. And for a while he was known as Gunny as well, modeled after Clint Eastwood's character from Heartbreak Ridge, Gunny, because he had the flat top haircut. Into his late 50s, 60s, he still had it. Gunny, and then Chief. And I'm not sure which one of my brothers gave him that name, but they did, and it stuck with them to the very end, so he is Chief. And then, because he had these expressions that he would say, it's almost like, it was like a mental database, where it would cycle through. In the situation that he was in, he'd figure out what to say, to the point where by the end, we all knew what was coming in a situation. We knew before he did what he was going to say. And it's, if he said something different, that was the shocking point, which was great. Like, for example, like meatloafs, like there was the one where every time he had liver, he realized he never met a meatloaf he didn't like. The one I always loved was you sit at a round table, especially at a round table, but you sit at a table, it's like, all right, everybody sit down, liar, sit at the end of the table. And doesn't matter what side you're on, if you think about it, every table at some point, it's the end of the table. There's a thousand of them. Can't think of them right now. Don't want to get too emotional thinking about it. I do want to get back to Chicago, play some music here while I recompose myself here. Again, Chicago, he loved a song that came out in the 70s by Aliotta, Haynes, Jeremiah. It's called Lakeshore Drive. I don't think I have it. Yeah, again, we're doing everything manual today. Nothing automated at all. Didn't even have it queued up there. Going to go ahead and play that now for you here. This is the Tampa Turntable Session, special session today as we remember Robert Frazier and Alice Frazier here on HCC's Hawk Radio. Stick around. I'll be back in just a few minutes.
Shining with a heavenly grace, help you right on by. And there ain't no road just like it anywhere I found. Running south on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town, and just slipping on by on LSD, Friday night trouble bound.
out inside. Concrete mountains wearing up, throwing shadows just about five. Sometimes you can smell the green if your mind is feeling fine. There ain't no finer place to be than running Lakeshore Drive. And there's no peace of mind the place you see, riding on Lakeshore Drive. South on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town. Just slipping on my own LSD, riding at trouble bound. This Friday night and you're looking clean, too early to start the rounds. A 10-minute ride from the Gold Coast back makes you show your pleasure bound. It's 4 o'clock in the morning and all the people have gone away. Just you and your mind at Lakeshore Drive, and tomorrow is another day. And the sun shines fine in the morning time, tomorrow is another day. South on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town. Just snaking on my own LSD, finding that trouble bound.
Listen to HCC's Hawk Radio. It's the Tampa Turntable Sessions on this Friday afternoon, coming to you from Tampa, Florida, Hillsborough Community College, Ybor City Campus. My name is Mike Frazier. This is the Tampa Turntable Sessions. Welcome back in. Eliada, I always botch that first name. Eliada Haynes Jeremiah Lakeshore Drive. There, a song that my dad would listen to. That's from the 1970s. We're recognizing and honoring the celebration of life today in memoriam of my father and my mother. My dad passed away at the age of 87 just this past Tuesday evening after a battle with cancer. Our family lost our mom back in October of just this past year, so 82 days apart. Reading some of the comments here, and let's see here. Cue up the next thing here. Just reading some of the comments that are coming across here. By the way, I will be I promised to give you out the phone number before. I'll give it to you in just a moment here. But just reading some of the comments that are coming across on our family post here. Let's see here. My sister Tracy had commented that Mom and Dad liked the one song from Eric Clapton. And I think you're talking about Wonderful Tonight by Eric Clapton. I will bring that up, actually, see if I can't cue that up there. I didn't necessarily bring it with me, but we'll see what we can do here. She also mentioned that my nephew Vince, who was obviously that's my dad's grandson, my sister Tracy's son, all the same person. Vince was hell-bent to be a Marine because of him. My brother Scott commented, awesome. Let's see. My sister Sue let me know that they were married in September 1959, and she knows that because she was born 13 months later. So there we go. I did actually want to mention, too, last night I talked to my brother Bob, who, my oldest brother. We talked last night, and he did want to say a couple of words. We thought it best to probably pre-tape the interview and then clean it up in case either one of us lost it at the time. We were able to hold it together, kind of like remarkably how I'm able to do it today. Because again, it's not so much, you know, it's not a sad thing. It's a memorial thing today. It's a remembrance. I do want to play that interview for you right now, and then take you into a couple of songs right out of that will make more sense once you hear the once you hear the clip, once you hear the interview clip. So this was from last night. This is my brother Bob, and we were talking to each other. This is Hawk Radio, Tampa Turntable Sessions. Keep it here.
Good afternoon.
Where are you?
I am in Arizona.
And it bears the question, here in Florida, right now, tonight, we're going to have temperatures in the like mid to lower 30s here in Tampa. How you doing there in where are you at in Arizona?
Good. I'm in Scottsdale right now, and the temperatures are fine. We're in the 60s a day, which is great, 70s sometimes. So, but I'm glad to be able to participate in this celebration of life today. And I just wanted to tell a short, quick story as it relates to music and our dad, our family, if I can.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this goes all the way back to 1967 when Ma and Dad bought their first big purchase as a young family. They bought a Zenith stereo console back then in the late 60s. That was what all the people were buying. Stereo sound was relatively new, and I remember them. I was probably 5 years old. I remember them bringing it home and them being very excited about the stereo, and myself being fascinated by stereo sound, how you could stand in front of the unit and it sounded like the music was coming out of the record itself. So, and they proceeded to buy many records of the day, stuff like Herb Alpert and Burt Bacharach and Boots Randolph and plenty of movie soundtracks, you know, stuff that has very little value today. But to us, it was priceless. It was priceless to them. And, you know, if they were going to buy good stuff like the Beatles and that, we would have destroyed them anyway. So it's just as well. But that memory of that stereo has stuck with me all my life. And helped me for many years, as you know, Mike, all my record forays to this day, still buying and selling records. So I have that to thank Mom and Dad for.
Absolutely.
So just a short story there.
Yeah. And just a quick backstory. So my brother Bob here, yeah, he, after a whole career, he's retired. He discovered a new career. He's gone into buying and selling and trading classic vinyl. I mean, is that a good description?
Yeah, yeah. I went all the way back to my $3 an hour job.
But so, more than $3 an hour these days.
It's one of the things I'm doing out here in Arizona. So, you know, I can't beat it. And, you know, Ma and Dad always encouraged us to participate in music. And, you know, one of Dad's favorite, you know, I'd be playing something and, you may remember this, Dad's favorite band, Crash Banging the Noisemakers. that'll stick with me. So, just wanted to call in and participate a little bit in this celebration of life today.
So about this stereo system, I don't think I remember this. I mean, I'm guessing back then, big consoles. I mean, big huge things.
Yeah. Yeah, so they didn't get the floor model. They got kind of a tabletop model, and but it was the same principle as the floor models, where you would put the record in. You know, the records would drop down from the long spindle, and the tone arm would swing over, and you know, the next record would end, the next one would fall, and they probably had it till we broke it.
So,
they're still out there. You find them every now and then at garage sales and stuff. You know, they're not worth anything because they're just so honking big. But back in the late 60s, everyone had to have one. You know, stereo sound was a new thing.
I would think, too, today it's probably hard to find a stylus or a needle for these older models, too.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. There's just not much value in there. They've come, you know, stereo equipment's come so far, there's just not much value. It's mostly just sentimental reasons to have one today.
So speaking of sentimental, you were talking about standing in front of it, you know, the old days where, you know, with the mono, where same thing, left and right channel. You had speakers back then, left and right channels, but
Do you recall what record it was, or a particular moment where when you were just like, oh, like in awe, like here's the stereo, like, you know, separating left channel and right channel as you're standing in front of it?
Yeah, I don't remember a specific moment, but I do remember moving from side to side and hearing the sound coming out of each speaker, but then centering myself up to hear the sound appear to be coming off of the needle and the record when it was actually combining the left and right channels in my head, I guess. So, but you know, there was plenty of Herb Alpert records being played, plenty of Burt Bacharach's. That was one of their favorites. Dad listened to a lot of Victory at Sea, being the old Marine. So, stuff like that. You know, every week they'd come home. You know, that was another thing. I watched the record collection grow and grow, and I was pretty fascinated by that. That look at all these records that they've got.
Yeah. So,
it was magic, absolute magic.
Yeah, yeah, he will be missed. You know, you're the oldest son. I'm the youngest son out of six children here. Yeah, I mean, just the fantastic memories that he brought to all of the fantastic life he gave all of us, and the fantastic memories he's going to leave all of us.
That's... Yeah, right. The memories will last much longer than the physical possessions, because we broke all of them as kids.
yeah. We had talked a couple of months ago about, you had sent me a text message that in our lifetime, or what is it, the something along the lines of like that we're a person born today is likely to live to be 120 years old. There was something that you sent me, and I just remember, I don't know if you remember that, but I just remember I responded back where, yeah, and Dad will be there to see them.
He'll live on in our memories.
Yes, he will. So, Bob, thank you for calling in.
Have a good rest of the show. We enjoy the Tampa Turntable Sessions, both in Chicago and out here in Phoenix.
All right, and also in Indiana when you're up there, right?
That's right.
All right, we're pulling back the curtain here. Yeah, this is Bobby the Record Guy, who also lives in Indiana. Now he's out in Arizona during the winter months. All right. Thanks,
all right, Bob. Good talking to you.
Right. Take care. Take care.
Bye. All right.
Interview last night with my brother Bob, who called to share a story about my dad. And I'm actually really fast as well. And by the way, this is on Facebook Live. I'm actually holding up a photo that he had climbed to the top of, I think it was Camelback Ranch Mountain. And I'm sorry if that's not the correct mountain, but for some reason that's the one that comes to mind there. But he's holding up a photo at the top of the mountain that just says, I love you, Mom and Dad. On Facebook Live, you might be able to see that if you're watching there. But yeah. My sister Sue reminded me too that how could I forget about this? I mean, in addition to being a big baseball fan, my dad was actually a great baseball coach. And she commented, he taught all the kids how to play the game the way it was meant to be played. He helped Mike and coached my son, his grandson Michael. So I forgot. Yeah, he was always there with us. Getting back to, I know we're running out of time here. We're going to run long. I'm going to keep the live feed going here because I do want to see if anyone is interested and want to share a story. I promised the phone numbers before. I'm ready to give them out now, an hour later. If you would like to give me a call, feel free to do so. 813-614-4055. Again, 813-614-4055, or also we've got a second line as well. That's here in the studio, 813-614-3616. 813-614-3616. As promised, I was going to play a couple of records that they actually my brother is actually calling right now. So you know what? I think I'm just going to go ahead and take it. I'm going to pick it up here, and we're gonna vamp here. And hey, Scott, you're on the air. Are you there, Scott?
Yeah. Hello.
Hello. Hi. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going, bro?
Good. Good.
One of the greatest stories with Dad was, remember when we were young, we used to play kill basketball upstairs. And we thought we were slick. We put the mattresses down like they wouldn't hear us jumping all over the floor. And then it would come up and say, "Whoever, I'm going to beat the winner's head over the loser every time." He said, "You guys want to do that? Whoever wins, they're going to get beat up by the loser." One of the things that made me crack up forever.
That was the Nerf football game or the Nerf basketball game, right? That you guys destroyed that door.
Each other up there, you always thought we were going to come through the ceiling and land on a couch where he's sitting. And we thought we were slick, like he didn't know what was going on up there.
dust and paint coming off the ceiling. You guys were.
Yep. You know, the other thing that I remember was when I just got out of high school, I went to school and did some carpentry. And he needed a garage shingle, so I started shingling the garage. And every shingle I put down, he questioned what I was doing. And I said, "Well, you wanted me to do this, so you want to come up on the roof and do it, or you want me to do it?" And he's like, "I'll just stay down here, go ahead and do it." Well, as you can see, the roof turned out great.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's sarcasm or not, no.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the last thing was, like, when we were growing up, we had the bikes. We used to take his tools and fix our bikes, and we'd leave the tools right where we fixed the bike. Next day, he made that tool, and he could not find it. And he's just like, "All right, you kids, I'm going to lock everything up so you don't get to see any of it."
Fantastic. Fantastic stories. Fantastic stories.
Yes, absolutely.
And personally, where are you calling from today? Where are you at?
I'm actually in Indiana, sitting in my car. Just got off work, sitting in my car listening to the radio, and heading home right now.
All right. Well, thank you. Yeah, we Scott and I talked earlier, and I was waiting for his phone call here, so I realized I forgot to give the phone numbers out. I got lost in all my thoughts here, so yeah, as soon as I gave it out, I see you called. Scott, thank you for calling.
Yep.
All right.
Thank you, Ralph.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right, love you too. All right. Bye. Scott Frazier, my brother, calling from Indiana. Thanks, Scott. Getting back really fast here before the top of the hour here, play a couple of songs that were definitely played on that turntable that my brother talked about. One of them is from the soundtrack to West Side Story, 1961's West Side Story. And then another one will be Herb Alpert right after that. My dad loved Herb Alpert. You're going to hear a song from him. His favorite song by Herb Alpert is coming up. Thanks for listening. We're here on the Tampa Turntable Sessions here on HCC's Hawk Radio.
There's nothing for me but Maria. Every sight that I see is Maria.
Tony, Tony.
With you, every thought I'll ever know, everywhere I go.
Into space. Today the world was young.
a place for me to live in, no better than all right. But here you are, and what was just a one is a star.
I cannot stay. Go quickly.
I'm not afraid.
Please.
Good night.
Buenas noches.
You see this guy? This guy? In love with you. Yes, I'm in love. Who looks at you the way I do? When you smile, I can tell we know each other very well. How can I show you, I'm glad I got to know you, 'cause I've heard some talk. They say you think I'm fine.